Yeah, who's excited? Come on, Speak Conference. So Pastor Don, if you guys weren't aware, is actually over in Melbourne at the moment speaking at a leaders conference. What a week for conferences this week. I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like Shout had a conference on, City Impact had a conference on, Hillsong had a conference on, Melbourne, they had a leaders conference on. But you got to love it. I know Pastor Don's going to be back with a few stories. I was talking to him last night on the phone. I love that, sure enough, at the airport, he led someone to Jesus. So good. Another airport story for when he's back. But Pastor Julia was just saying that Pastor Don actually got to spend a whole day on Friday with Pastor Tim Hall. Pastor Tim Hall is pumped and is excited. Hands up if you don't know who Pastor Tim Hall is. Okay, a couple of hands here. He is an amazing man of God. Like it's actually been some time since he's been here, but put your hand up if you know who Pastor Tim Hall is. You'll know that things are going to get absolutely wild. You know, this morning we're talking about just moments where you encounter God. And if I was to look back on my life and think about some of those pivotal moments that I've had with God, some of those have been when Pastor Tim Hall has been ministering. Another time actually has been when Cindy Rawkerry was ministering. A long time ago, we were having a youth camp over at Great Barrier, and Cindy Rawkerry was there a week early because they were going to have a camp there after us. And it was one of those chance meetings where us as a team met with her and we kind of discovered who she was, and we're like, hey, do you want to just jump on the stage and worship with us? What do you reckon? She jumped on. She basically began to lead a song, and I think it was like 30 or 40 minutes later, we were finished. Like, we're just like, let's just do a song, but we just had such a moment with God. We're like, we don't want to stop this. And I'm so excited. She's super prophetic. She always bring a word in season that feels like it's just for you. Because basically it is. So I'm excited about that. And we all know Pastor Don. We love him. I'm excited for conference. But I thought just before we get into the word, why don't we get on our feet again? Let's pray for Pastor Don. The other thing we're going to pray for, and it's my fault for forgetting, but Ash and Dev, so Ash worship leading this morning, their oldest, Matea, is going into surgery this week. She was just on the altar before when we were having the ministry time and getting prayer, but we're going to pray for her. She's going into surgery to get surgery done on her hips on Thursday, and so we're going to pray for that as well. So God, I just want to thank you that you are infinitely good. God, I thank you, God, that nothing is impossible for you. Lord, I thank you that when we think we understand who you are and almost put limits on you, God, I thank you that you go and shatter those. And Lord, I want to thank you for passing on and the awesome stories, God, from Lord, people getting saved in the airport through to, God, just basically revival happening with those leaders over in Melbourne, God. I just pray that today, as he's sharing in the morning and at night, God, again, that your hand would be on that, God, that, Lord, I thank you that Pastor Don doesn't necessarily keep to the program. Lord, I pray that you would have your way. God, that those leaders would be fired up, that hope would rise, that faith would rise. Lord, that they would leave and go back to their churches, to their organizations, God, and that they would see, Lord, in turn, revival take place in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just lift up the Vitalis now, Lord, with Ash and with Dev, especially Matea. Lord, even little Alexa who turned 2, God, the other day. Lord, I just pray a blessing on their family. God, I thank you that, Lord, even as we speak about overflow, God, that overflow, Lord, they would experience in health, God. Lord, I pray for healing. God, I pray for a miracle. But God, even if it is to be done through the hands of a surgeon, I pray for peace. God, that as Matea goes under surgery this Thursday, God, that there would be a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that this thing would be sorted, their hips would be sorted, that she'd be able to run around, God, whole and healthy as you purposed and you have designed, in Jesus' name. And finally, I pray for this moment now, God, as we get around your word, Lord, that you would bless it. God, that you would speak to each one of us. God, that we would leave here more inspired than when we turned up. God, that we would leave filled with more hope and with more faith than when we turned up, God. I pray that it wouldn't just be a head knowledge, God, but it would be a heart knowledge. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. You can be seated. Oh, it's all right. Thank you. Thank you, band. Who thought the band did well this morning? I love our worship team. I might be a little biased, but I absolutely love our worship team. Oh, legend. Thank you. As I said, I absolutely love our worship team. If they're not even serving, they're lifting up pulpits and opening water, which means that water hasn't been spiked because I heard the little click of the lid coming off. I am safe. For those who have been around long enough, you'll know a little story about some water being spiked. Believe it or not, by an intern. Terrible. Oh, wow. Good laugh. So this morning, first of all, I just wanted to check. Was anybody here not here last week? Just a show of hands. Okay, not a couple. Was anyone not here the week before? Okay, cool. I thought before I get started, what I'd do is just give a little bit of a recap of the last couple of weeks. And the purpose of that is, as you'll tell by the back screen, in July, the theme is around overflow. And I thought I'd give a little bit of a recap because Pastor Don has preached a couple of awesome words, and then we'll use that as the platform to kick off of what I'm going to talk about this morning. Does that sound good? Awesome. So, as you see, the theme is overflow. The passage for the month comes out of Luke chapter 6, verses 38. And we've just got a little bit of an excerpt there that says, abundant gifts will pour out upon you. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you. And in week one, Pastor Don was just sharing about how we are called to experience God's overflow. How awesome is that? We are here on earth to experience God's overflow. And it's one of those things, you know, Pastor John was talking about, you know, the parable of sowing the seed. It's almost one of those principles that we see time and time again in the Bible that talks about sowing and reaping. So if I sow tomato seeds, what am I going to get? Nailed it. Wasn't a trick question. If I'm going to sow apple seeds, what am I going to get? Nice. If I decide that I'm going to sow seeds over concrete, what am I going to get? Nailed it. I'm going to feed the birds. Same goes in our life. If we, you know, I love where it says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know, God calls us to invest in his kingdom. It's the same as investing in people and relationships. If I'm going to have a relationship with Kim, I can't just do that via social media. That's called stalking, which we don't really advocate here. Just FYI, in case anybody was a little bit confused there. Scrolling through, following somebody, liking the occasional post, and leaving a comment is not having a relationship. Having a relationship means time face-to-face. Having a relationship means that on both sides, there's some willingness there. And I can tell you this morning, in case anyone's wondering, God wants to have a relationship with you, so that's sorted. But having a relationship means that we need to talk. Now, who knows that if the conversations I have with Kim are all negative, what am I going to get? Negativity. I'm going to get a slap. Who said that? Nailed it. Yes. Believe it, that's quite funny actually. One of my life goals is to get through life without being slapped. But who knows that if I invest in my relationship by having positive conversations, by telling Kim that I love her, that I think she's a phenomenal mum, showing that, I reap positivity back. I reap love back, sowing and reaping. And so the passage where this comes from, just in those scriptures around it, is talking about the measure that you sow. It give and it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's talking about giving out of an overflow and receiving from an overflow. And so Pastor Don talked about mentor overflow. He had a great little illustration where I can't do it this morning because I'll be pouring water everywhere. But essentially, you know, pouring water into a cup. And how if you want to receive God's overflow, it all depends on how you position yourself where it's pouring. And how you position yourself is through obedience. And I loved his first point, which was really, really, really simple. Who's got a smartphone here this morning? Sometimes. Yeah. If you got a smartphone, download the Bible app. The most important app before Facebook. Nice. Not only have you got the Bible app, I can see that you're highlighting verses in there. That's next level. More important than Facebook, more important than Instagram, more important than your inbox, more important than any other app is the Bible app. And that's because, you know, how do we invest and how do we sow in ourselves? How do we hear from God? It's about getting into the Word of God. And I absolutely love the Bible app. I mean, I do have my analog Bible here this morning. But the reason I love the Bible app is because it's basically like taking a library with you. You've got so many translations in there, which is just awesome for when you're wanting to dive in and really enjoy God's Word. Kim and I were actually talking about this morning. It's one of those things, I haven't actually heard it talked about for a while, and I'm going to, 30 seconds tops, and then we're diving in. Just to quickly brush on around translations, because I think it's so important getting into the Bible, if you can, every day and reading. But just something really quickly around translations. So who knows that the Bible wasn't written in English? No, it wasn't. Sorry if I burst any bubbles there. It wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew. We've got Greek there. And so we've got different translations. Some of them are what are called word for word. Literally going through and what is the Hebrew word and let's translate that. And who knows that when you translate languages, sometimes you need to switch the words around because the structure doesn't quite work perfectly so you can read it. So you got your word for words. You've got your thought for thoughts. And that's where it's translated and it's like, what are they saying? And let's ensure that that is translated in what we read. And then finally, you've got your paraphrase. The most famous, probably paraphrase one is the Message, which is literally, let's take the intent of the entire message, say of what Jesus was saying here, and let's translate that into language that I'm going to get. Because I'm not going to lie, sometimes reading word for word can be a bit tough. It's like eating steak, meat and potatoes. And sometimes what I love is I might switch between, you know, one of my favorite more thought-for-thought paraphrase ones at the moment is the Passion Translation. I might read that. I'm like, that's cool. It brings something fresh. And then I dive into another translation and then just dig in word for word. You know, what is God saying here? So download the Bible app if you haven't. It's probably one of the most fundamental things to sowing into yourself and experiencing the overflow. Then week two, first point, there's more. I love that. I love that. There's more. I mean, God doesn't want us just to experience Him once, right? There's always more. You know, you might be experiencing like you're on the top of a mountain in the middle of worship and you're just like, God is so good. I feel like I'm going to explode. There is more. If you're feeling dry, there's more for you. And I love the next one around, you know, the overflow isn't just about you, it's about the other person. How are you turning up? Because the overflow spills out of you into those around you. So I love his challenge, you know, who was worship leading in their row this morning? You know, I always, if I'm not on stage, I'm worshiping probably so loud that maybe I'm worship leading the row around me. Maybe you're worship leading your section. I'll never forget years ago at my parents' church, there was this great, amazing man. He's gone on to be with Jesus now, but Pastor Gary Adams, really great friend of Pastor Don and Julia's, he used to worship leaders' row. So much so that he could sway an entire congregation to go off with him and the worship band's busy. Like, who knows Amazing Grace? Well, Amazing Grace, I'm not going to get too technical with this, but you can sing it in different time signatures. And so he would be singing one, the worship team singing another, and everyone just joins in with him, and the band has to stop. Band joins in with him. I love it. He definitely worship led his row. And then the last point there was about kind of opening your spiritual eyes to seeing what God has for you. And I love that because God is, like, there's so many times in the Bible where it talks about overflow. You know, my cup overflows, where it talks about abundance, that here you can do more than you can ever hope or dream. And that's what God is like. Who feels like they've caught up on the last couple of weeks? Yeah, awesome. All right, so we're going to dive in this morning. And the passage I want to look at and we're going to focus on this morning is it's Philippians 4. Verses 4-7. So if you've got your Bibles or you got your Bible app, why don't we get those out this morning? I think we might even throw it up on the screen. And what I'm going to do this morning is a little bit of a demonstration of what I meant by, you know, how you can switch between a couple of versions. So we're going to start Philippians 4. I've got this on my phone. Out of the Passion Translation. Then we'll dive into, I've got the NIV here, and we'll just unpack it, because I think there's some awesome keys in here around overflowing. And so we'll start with, this is the Passion Translation. It says this, "Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let every gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ." I love that statement here that says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow. And I love that statement because who knows, it's really easy to be overflowing with joy when things are going really well. Yeah, those mountaintop experiences, like I said, it might be at, who knows, you're at church and you just, you know, you just got an awesome awareness of the presence of God around you and you're just having an encounter with Him, or maybe a mountaintop experience like you just got that promotion, you got a pay rise, maybe things are going well, maybe you've just closed that deal at work that you've been struggling and striving to get sorted. Maybe it's the birth of a new child and it's that moment where you look at them and you're on a mountaintop. It's so easy to overflow with joy at that moment. Who knows that it's not easy to overflow with joy when you're in that valley experience where you just feel like you're stuck in the trees, you can't see what's ahead of you. Maybe you've been made redundant. Maybe you're not closing deals right now. Maybe those leads at work are drying up. Maybe it's that moment where the newborn's at home and then you realize that you're never going to sleep again for 6 months. It's hard to be filled with joy at that moment. And the reason I love this is because it's challenging for me. That here, what Paul is saying is to be joyous and to overflow with joy in every season. In the NIV, which we've got, I think we can throw up there, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I say it again, rejoice. So on the face value, I kind of don't like it because there's an element of, but, you know, what about those valley moments? I agree, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to erupt with joy, I'm going to overflow with joy in the good times, but what about those other times? I think that's a bit hard. But the reason I love it is because the key comes in this chapter. And it comes where it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So there's the key. When you start being anxious, when things aren't looking good, turn to Him. And then the payoff and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. How good is that? And so the first challenge I want to give this morning is, who is your source? So I was thinking about it. I brought this along as a little bit of a prop. A pipe. Well, part of a pipe. And I was thinking about, you know, who is your source? And so has anyone got a place that's on tank water? Yeah, a couple of hands here. I grew up out at the beach with tank water. This is really important. In fact, there is no way you would have a pipe like this. The pipe's more like that. Who is your source? Just like growing up, we were on tank water and it was about keeping your gutters clear. And, you know, you were thankful. I can't actually hear it right now. Mine a miracle while we're preaching that we're not fighting with the rain. But, you were praying for rain sometimes. Isn't it funny that, you know, some of us might have been not praying, like praying that there's no rain. There's probably a few people out there just going, thank you, God. But anyway, you were praying for rain because you knew that your source came from the rain. Your source came from the roof, down one of these, into your tank, so that you could turn on your tap and get water. And it's the same in life. Who is your source? And that's why Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but he says, turn to God. Pray. Give it to Him with thanksgiving. Because God is our source in the moments when you feel like you're on a mountain high or you feel like you're in one of those valleys, God is your source. Because the risk is when you are relying on yourself, that who knows that in those moments there's stress, there's striving, there's burnout, there's stretch. But who knows in those moments that when you turn to God, that you might be feeling the stretch, but you can smile through the stretch. Something I loved, it was a couple of months ago, I was reading John chapter 4. And most of us will know this. John chapter 4, there's a moment where there's a Samaritan, yes, woman at the well. Yeah. And she's there collecting water. Jesus rocks up. Jesus asks for a drink. They have this whole conversation. And then Jesus says to her, I can give you water that will quench your thirst. And he talks about living water, where you'll never want to drink again. And I love in chapter 4, and again, I think it's in later on, it might be about chapter 8, Jesus talks about being the living water and springs of living water within you. And the reason I love that is I've always thought about it, that you're going through those hard times and it's like, God, just give me a drink. But it's not like that. God actually has given us a spring of living water that we can draw off. And that's why my challenge this morning, who is your source? Because I can't tell you this morning that we're always going to hang out on the mountaintops, because it's not true. I mean, you only have to read the book of Psalms, and it's basically David going, everything's going awesome, and oh, woe is me, and everything's going awesome, and woe is me, and everything's going awesome. But God's so good. God's love never ends. I praise God. Basically, he sums up our lives, right? Maybe the challenge there is also, though, for us, that we need to be ensuring that we're praising God and realizing his goodness, which is being connected to the source. So that when you're in the stretch, you can turn on that source and receive from God, to receive that overflow of joy. And I love it. Yeah, it says, and don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I love that bit, with thanksgiving. And what that makes me think about is the power of praise. It's not about just going to God and being like, God, this is what I need. Maybe it's, God, I just need strength to get through this. God, who knows? God, I just need patience to get through this. Maybe it's more serious. God, I need finance to get through this. It's not just about coming to God with that, but the importance of praise. And why I think there's so much power in praise is it's a bit like this morning. You know, the first couple of songs we often do tend to be what we describe as praise songs on a Sunday. And that's not just because they're a little bit more upbeat, but they tend to declare truth about who God is. Now, they're not just throwaway songs where you do a couple of songs and then you turn up and then, oh, we have this great kind of soaky worship moment. Praise is so important, because what praise does is praise is where we declare who God is, the truth about God. That's why I love that God is good, that it says his love endures forever. That is praise. I'm declaring who God is. It doesn't actually matter how I feel. I'm declaring the truth about God. Because who knows that sometimes the truth about God might not be my perception of what I'm going through right now, but it's true. So the reason I love praise is because I'm declaring the truth about who God is. As I begin to say that, God, you are mighty. Nothing is impossible for you. Lord, your love overflows. God, I thank you that you have taken my sin far from me, that you have set me free, that you bring freedom, you bring liberty. What I'm doing is I'm basically coaching my soul. You can't help but praise God and then begin to get excited. You can't help but praise God and let faith begin to rise within you, hope begin to rise within you. You can't help but let your entire soul change. That's why I love David in the Psalms. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's being like Alex. He's being a personal trainer to himself. He's going, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. He goes on to say, and let's not forget all of his benefits, all that he's done for me, and he starts to name them. And by the end of that psalm, he is basically just praising and worshiping. And that's what I think is important around that key about thanksgiving. It's not only coming to God and going, God, I need you. I'm choosing not to turn to myself as the source, but to turn to you as the source. But it's about beginning to declare and to thank God for who he is. The things that it actually doesn't matter how I feel right now, it's true. And in turn, you begin to change. In turn, you begin to open up and you begin to let the peace that passes all understanding to flood into that situation. And it's when that peace comes, that joy comes. And another reason why I love what Paul is saying here is because he knew it for himself. It's not some guy who's always had it together, standing up the front, or in this case, writing a letter to a church going, you can have joy in every season. And people look at his life and go, you've never experienced what it's like to go through the valley. I mean, he had been basically whipped. People hated him. Earlier in Philippians, it talked about, you know where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? When he said that, he was talking about he knows what it's like to live without lack. Like, basically, I'm on a mountaintop, I've got provision, and he knew what it was like to live with lack. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This letter, the Philippians would have known, you know, this was a church born out of miracles. One of the greatest miracles that helped build, you know, where this church was born out of was, who knows, there's that story in Acts, and you've got Paul and Silas. They've been out in the town center. They've been you know, praying for people. There's this servant girl who was a fortune teller, and essentially they prayed for her and cast the spirit out. A whole lot of people got unhappy. They got thrown into jail, and it says it's this moment. Did I write it down? I didn't even write down the scripture, but it's anyway. You can find it in Acts. The beauty of the Bible app is you can use the search function too. So search Paul and Silas prison, you'll find it. So anyway, they're in prison, and what does it say? It doesn't say that they sat there wallowing. It doesn't say that they muttered and were like, God, you know, you led us to this place in Philippi. You led us to reach out to people and let them experience your freedom, and then you've put us here. It doesn't say that. It says that they began to sing hymns and praise. You know what it also said? It said that the rest of the jail were listening. So here's Paul and Silas all locked up, praising in the middle of probably a worse valley than a worse valley than I've ever experienced. In jail, everyone's listening. And then an earthquake happens, and the doors are opened, and the chains fall off. And it's not just Paul and Silas, it's everyone. And the jailer freaks out because he's like, that's me over. The prisoners are going to run away. And it said that they were still there. And Paul and Silas basically led him and his family, and I've got no doubt, other prisoners to Jesus in that moment. Because they would have been watching. And I love that praise. Unlocking the breakthrough in a situation where you can have joy in a valley just like you can have joy on the mountaintop. That you can have peace that passes all understanding just like you can have peace on the mountaintop. God's heart for us this morning is that we would experience his joy overflowing in our lives in every season. That just like in Philippians 4 verse 4 where it says rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, that you can rejoice in any moment because God is your source. And it's not just for you. That's one of the things I love about God, is not only does he have a heart towards us that we would experience his overflow, but it's also for those around us. You know, if you think of that cup example, as water pours in and it spills out, it's for the people around us. You know, this week at work, things have been absolutely hectic. This is at my other job, the agency job, absolutely hectic. And I've noticed, just like I was saying about my relationship with Kim, that if I overflow joy, that changes the environment around me. If I was to overflow anxiety, negativity, stress, what's going to happen with the people around me? They're going to act with anxiety. They're going to act with stress. They're going to feel the pressure. And it's so funny watching as you put that into practice, overflowing joy, what it does. And that's why I love that statement, to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Because we're called to turn up into situations because people are watching, people are listening, and to control the environment, not to be affected by it. Paul and Silas praising, singing, and it said that the people were listening so that when they saw the breakthrough, they knew that it was God. They knew that God was breaking through in a situation to them that would have ended in negativity. Well, of course you're going to be negative. I mean, you're locked up. And so it's not just about you. You know, God wants you to have a hunger for more of Him for everyone around you. And so this morning I want to encourage you, if you are not in a place where you feel like you can be joyful or rejoicing, begin to praise and begin to break through, not only for yourself, but for those around you. And the last scripture I just want to touch on this morning is 1 Thessalonians. And it says here, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Paul to the Thessalonians. That's it. It's about overflowing so that you can pour out that love that God has shown us. You know, I love that song we're singing, Reckless Love, that love that is overwhelming, that we don't even deserve, but we get to experience, allowing others around us to experience that too. I love, how it says in Mark chapter 12, and it's talking about, loving God with everything. Basically, an overflow towards God, and then loving others as yourself. And I had one of those moments. Who knows, you can have awesome moments with your kids who kind of teach you something. I had one of those awesome moments where, at the moment, Cole will come up to us, and he'll say, I've got something very important to tell you. And you know what he's going to say, but he does it all the time like it's a surprise. He'll be like, I've got something very important to tell you. And you're like, what's that? And he goes, I love you. And I love it because, who knows that when your kids are a little bit younger, you try and force them. He goes, hey, say I love you, Dad. Say I love you, Dad. But we're in a moment now where Cole will come up and goes, I've got something important to tell you. I love you. Hey, Harvey, I've got something important to tell you. I love you. Hey, Mummy, I've got something important to tell you. I love you, and I'm so proud of it. He did it without us forcing him to do it in front of some friends who've got a kid of another age, and you were like, oh, don't know where this came from. It's so good. They did text me to say that they tried to get their son to do it, and he was like, I've got something important to tell you, and it was nothing related to love. So, no one's got a child like ours. But anyway, the other night, it was so precious. He kind of started up, I've got something important to tell you. Love you, Dad. You got something important, Harvey. I love you. I've got something important, Mum. I love you. And then he goes, and I love myself. I love Cole. And for a moment there, I was like, oh my goodness, here we go. Now he's going to start talking about, I've got something important to you. I love Cole. But it made my mind go back to, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't actually love somebody with the love that God's given you that overflows unless you can actually love yourself. And that's why I think I was so triggered this morning by just that line, tearing down the lies and reckless love. That sometimes we can tell ourselves lies or whatever that will actually restrict how we overflow to people around us. And this morning, I believe, very soon we're going to have some praise, because I think, you know, we can finish today breaking through in some praise. But I want to encourage you that this morning, just to come before God and just go, God, I want to experience your overflow, not just but for me, so that I can realize how much you love me, but for the people around me. Because if we want to be God's hands and feet, if we want to see God move outside of just these four walls, which is his heart, transforming lives together, we need to know what it is to be loved by God, to love ourselves so that we can love others and give that to them too. Who got something out of this morning? Come on. Just quickly before we get into a bit of worship, do we have the cards or anything like that? Yeah, just for the people who put up their hands who weren't here last week, we've just got a little booklet and a card just quickly to share, you know, in this month of overflow, called the Vision Builders booklet. And what we're doing at the moment is we're just encouraging you just to take one of these. And if I could actually get the ushers, just while the band's coming up as well. If you don't have one of these, just put your hand up and we'll give you one. Got a couple of hands around here, if the ushers can see. We're just going to hand these out. And what we're encouraging you to do is just have a read. There was a few people last week who said, it was all kind of sprung upon us and we really wanted to think and pray about it. So we just wanted to open up another opportunity where what we're encouraging you to do is just to partner with us in what we're doing in this church. Because who knows that sometimes things cost money. Sometimes you can partner as far as getting involved and volunteering and helping out. But what we're doing is we're just wanting you to believe with us and partner with us in a greater way as far as, you know, investing in what's happening in this house. And Pastor Don gave such a great word around this last week. You know, the vision has always been the same. It's transforming lives together. And I love that because, you know, Paul says so many times throughout, his letters that the purpose of the church is to build one another up, to encourage one another up. And that's what transforming lives together is all about. It's about people who can come and they can feel like they can connect. It doesn't even matter what someone believes. Amen? This is a home that it doesn't matter what someone believes. They should feel like they can come here. And it's in those moments where you can grow, where the Holy Spirit can come. And that's where life begins to transform. A life begins to understand the goodness of God as love towards them. That they can make a choice to follow hard after Him. And then our version is about serving. It's an opportunity where, hey, if you're part of this house, why don't you get involved and serve? You know, just like a house, I'm really looking forward to when the kids get a little bit older at home and they can start cleaning some windows and doing some chores. But just like a house, if it was all up to just Kim, she wouldn't be happy. If it was all up to just Kim and I, it's a lot of work. But when everyone in the family is getting stuck in and serving, many hands make light work. Amen? I now understand why my parents got me into vacuuming so early. And then finally, it's an opportunity to lead. You know, each one of us has got a God-given call on our lives. And it's an opportunity where in the house here you can lead in helping to transform the lives together. And so, in essence, that is the vision of the church. And so we want to encourage you this morning, have a read of that. If you came this morning and you're ready to give from last week, make sure you do that. I think we're going to hand around the offering buckets. But yeah, feel free, you know, next week to come, pray about it. And invest. I want to encourage you to invest in what God's doing here. It's more than just fixing a couple of holes so that whoever sat there didn't feel like they were being baptized this morning. But yeah. We want to see in our new chapter as a church, God just, taking us further in what we do beyond these four walls. Amen? Amen. All right. I think we're going to hand those buckets out. Is that what we're doing? Cool. I can't hear Steve. Oh, the buckets are at the door. All right, we're just going to hand out those buckets. Oh, no, buckets at the door. That makes sense. I'm going to blame many years of you standing next to Devin Vitale, the animal, playing drums. Absolutely destroying. I'm like lip reading. Anyway, cool. Buckets are at the door if you want to give at the end. But why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. And then we're going to get into a little bit of praise and worship and lifting up who Jesus is. Because I believe this morning that if you are struggling, that there's power in praise. Amen? Come on. But God, I want to thank you again for this word. Lord, I want to thank you for, God, just what you pressed on my heart to give. Lord, and I thank you that there are a few hands that went up this morning saying that people have received something, God, which is my heart, that would happen. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in that. But God, I just want to create an opportunity now, Lord, and I just pray that you would, God, just begin to speak to us. God, if we're in a place where maybe we're far from you this morning, God, I pray that you would begin to call those of us who feel like that home this morning. God, I just pray that if for some of us we're feeling like we're in a valley this morning, that God, that you would begin to call us, God, our vision from our circumstances to you. God, and I pray for those of us this morning who are feeling on a mountaintop, God, that, Lord, that you would call us, God, just to celebrate in that moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to have a knowledge of this that's not just in our heads, but in our hearts, God. Lord, that peace that passes understanding is not just for our head, but it's also for our hearts, God. It's a knowledge where we experience that, God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And church, we're going to sing a song, and I want to encourage you. You know, God can meet you wherever you are. God can meet you in your seat. God can meet you in your car. God can meet you in the bathroom. God can meet you where you're eating dinner. God can meet you anywhere. God can meet you at your desk at work in a moment. But there's something about coming on the altar, which isn't just the only way that God meets you, but it's almost making a statement to God that you're desperate for Him, that you want to encounter Him. It's a sign. It's almost like, you know, raising hands. Coming on the altar is a sign. And what I want to encourage you is we're going to sing this song. But if you feel that you just need to step out and meet with God, why don't you come on the altar? Maybe you're in a valley low. Maybe you're just feeling far from God. Come on the altar and press in. The ministry team will come and pray. If you don't want prayer, you can always say, "I don't want prayer." You can even just get on your knees. That's an easy way to say, "I'm just here for me." But if you want prayer, come up. Hey, maybe you've never made a decision before or you're feeling far from God. Just come up. Tell one of the ministry guys and they would love to pray with you. We're going to create a moment and it's up to you, you know, whether you want to come on the altar or just meet with God there. But I encourage you, press in this moment. This is for you and God. Amen.